Master, intruders have entered the complex. Must I be interrupted at every turn? I love those games, don't you? We're talking about the much shrouded in mystery, the myth, the legendary Gollum of Prague. And the Gollum in general. It has been said that necessity is the mother of invention, and yet I cannot help but assume it's more than plausible that our mere curious nature is equally to blame for both the grand achievements and the monstrosities let loose upon the earth. Now, if this interests you, then perhaps my telling of the tale of the Gollum is a story right up your alley. But what exactly is the Gollum? I mean, gosh, golly jeepers. I mean, we've heard of this name, the Gollum, countless times in film, and I'm not talking about that little scrawny creature that goes around looking for that ring he's never gonna get.
Precious, precious, where is my precious?
I'm talking about that Hulk made of earth and clay, and in some cases iron, and in other cases body parts from various corpses sewn together into the anthropomorphic form of a man, Frankenstein. Yeah, we've heard about this in other fiction as well, role-playing games, computer games, you know. But is it just that? Is it a myth? Or is there truth in this enigmatic, legendary creature of the occult? Well, let's talk about that. It is a fascinating figure from medieval Jewish mythology and, of course, Yiddish literature. I suppose there are, you know, so many stories, right, about humanoid monsters and artificial creatures that it can be rather challenging to just come sit at the table and strike up a conversation about the constructing of a golem. If we don't even know what the golem actually was, or what he looked like, or what was it? What was the golem, right? Well, in essence, purportedly, in myth, it is an animated anthropomorphic being in Jewish folklore. It is entirely created from inanimate matter, typically clay or mud. Now, as I've just mentioned, the Gollum of Prague, the most famous Gollum narrative involves the Gollum of Prague. And this Gollum was brought to life by a rabbi. And the purpose of the Gollum is, or was, to protect the Jewish people in Prague. During that time, the emperor and also the king of Bohemia, he was very benevolent, tolerant of Jewish culture at that time, but there were rumors going around about the human sacrifice, and then what happened is you had people threatening or attacking people of a different ethnicity at that time in Prague. So the legend is that the rabbi he created this golem creature with divine magic to protect the Jewish people from virulent attackers. And so that is the legend of the Golem of Prague, which I detail in my book, Psionic Golem, which I'm going to talk about that in a moment. Well, you know, the Golem sounds like it was a pretty useful creature. I mean, this big hulk, massive, indestructible, virtually indestructible creature, could protect an entire people. You know, I bet it was pretty useful to have a golem. Or, that is, if it actually existed, it would have been rather intimidating standing toe-to-toe with such a creature, don't you think? But what is the technology attributed to the construction of such a creature? Well, it goes without saying that the methods were certainly occult, albeit in the nature of high magic in one sense, because it was the name or secret magical names of God or letters of God that animated this creature, and yet at the same time the methods were also exemplary of some forms of low magic. And today we might even say that some of that reads very similar to chaos magic as well, for creating various servitors. Albeit today we have robots and well, we don't all of us have robots, but they are out there in the world, some of them for entertainment, others taking up various tasks, jobs, and so on. And so you might think that some of these robots, like the famous Sophia, it could be considered a form, a variant, if you will, of the golem. So, you know, and then the question about the golem is, was it a sentient being? No. Purportedly, it was a soulless creature. Quite sad, I'd say. But the drama aside, I think that the golem was a useful servitor. In many ways, it is a useful model and template for creating other kinds of servitors for various purposes, including protection of property, protection of your family, removing obstacles to your success, and so on. Use your imagination. The golem is a wondrous creature that has inspired all manner of fiction, possibly even maybe indirectly, fiction like Blade Runner, you know, where there are these artificial beings that are known as replicants. They look human, but they're not human. They're basically androids, if you will, or biologically engineered humanoids. And these could be considered golems too. You know, that story, Blade Runner, was inspired by the writing of Philip K. Dick, in particular his book, Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep? Well, I don't think golems really dream about anything. They're more of a primordial robot, I guess you could say. A primordial machine. Or at least they resemble the primordial. Now, you know, here's the other question. And we're going back to construction of the golem here. How is the golem created? Now I wonder if it really was just a heap of clumps of clay, and someone just commanded the golem to rise from the abyss. It wasn't just someone. as the legends say, these were rabbis. So it would mean that someone with some spark of divinity, or having taken some of the power of God in that view, in that worldview, in the monotheistic worldview, was that type of person could create this golem, but only with the secret names of God. According to legend, the golem is brought to life by a wise person's charm. Pieces of paper bearing bearing the mark or letters that make up a sacred word or a name of God are placed under the golem's tongue. In one reference, in another, it's referenced that animating the creature takes place when the emet, or the word of God, is inscribed on the forehead of the golem, which we can make reference in some popular fiction, like Johnny Quest, where there was an episode in Johnny Quest, I believe it was Rage of the Ages or something like that, or Rock of Rage, and it was where the Russian terrorist who tricked Dr. Quest into figuring out how to bring the golem back to life. And when he did, he attempted to take over an entire country with this indestructible creature. So in that reference, the sacred name symbol is inscribed on the forehead of the golem. Now, I guess the best way to determine what a golem is to discover the origin of the term. That would take us to a place where you might not have thought of looking. If you're thinking of the golem from the perspective of science fiction or role-playing games, you might not suspect that the golem appears firstly in the Bible. It connotes the unfinished human being before God's eyes. In modern Hebrew, golem is used to mean dumb or helpless. It is also passed into Yiddish as goylem, referring to someone lethargic or in a stupor. Well, that is certainly interesting. So I guess a golem, you know, as I was saying earlier, it's more of a primordial form. Our modern androids would be much more, well, if anything, closer to sentient than the old school golem. But still, there's just something about the golem that is more intriguing than an android. It's sort of like how perhaps King Kong or Godzilla seems to be more intriguing than, a monster like the vampire Lestat or what have you. There's something primordial about the golem figure. So what were the abilities and limitations of a golem? Since we're talking about abilities and usefulness, we were talking about usefulness of the golem. I thought I might pose this question. And I think the abilities and limitations of a golem, I think primarily what I was saying earlier is they're non-sentient. They're unable to speak. Yep, they were mute. They could be activated through ecstatic experiences induced by ritualistic use of Hebrew letters, forming what was called a Shem, a name of God, also the name of the son of Noah. Inscriptions on the golem's body, such as the word Emet, could activate or deactivate it. Now, actually, the latter part, there's a little bit more to it. Emet activated the golem, but in order to deactivate the golem, one would have to change the lettering. And I describe that more in more detail in my book, Silent Golem. I think what's most important to us is to try to find out or ask ourselves, why does the golem speak to us in modern times? I mean, here we are with advanced technology, robots. We're practically, blocks away from the next step of colonizing another planet at some point real soon. And yet we still find these medieval creatures and legends and lore. Fascinating. Despite our advances in technology, why is that? I think because at the heart of existence, whether we're human beings, dogs or cats, chimpanzees or amoeba, it is the primordial ooze, the primitive, the heart of the primitive beating at the core of all reality, at the center of the universe, which is exemplary of the enormous and massive mass of a super black hole in outer space. So the primitive and primordial is fascinating, regardless of how technical we become. It's almost, in a way, sacred. I guess we could say that. So, culturally, contemporary society might symbolize or sympathize with a golem-like creature as being a highly mutable metaphor with seemingly limitless symbolism, really. It could represent warfare, protection of a community, isolation, hope, and yet, by contrast, despair, which we can take from stories like Frankenstein, right? A despairing story where the monster Frankenstein horrifies his creator, is discarded, and then in revenge seeks out to murder Dr. Frankenstein's wife and best friend. In a sense, it could also be that the golem is a despairing creature. Over the centuries, it has been both a victim and a villain, embodying various themes. Remember, the golem story is rich with cultural and mystical significance, making it a captivating subject for exploration and interpretation. I'd say introspect as well as looking at society as a whole. And that is why I'm happy to announce our new addition to Verloc's Curiosity series, The Psionic Golem. In this book of myth and legend of the golem, we also explore its modern variants in the form of androids and virtual robots as humanity's attempt to create the ideal anthropomorphic construct as both an assistant in life, a companion, and, of course, our species' insatiable curiosity to go beyond our reality and explore new prospects of the bizarre and mystical and the mysterious. Check out the latest edition to the Verloc Curiosity series, Psionic Golem. Go to verloc.com/shop and keep the magic high. Thank you for joining me, lords and ladies. Until next time, Air Doctor commands.